Hey, we're here.
Yeah, man.
What's up?
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun.
Woo-hoo-ga.
I am energized. I went for a walk today. I'm prepping for my big climb on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I noticed your hair looked a little windblown when I came in.
It kind of was.
Yeah. My mom always liked her hair windblown. She's still alive, so I think she still likes it. But she would be like, that was her favorite when my dad had a convertible. She liked the windblown hair.
Oh, I hated that because I always have hairspray in my hair. And then it gets like crunchy and gross. Yeah, it was a little windy out there.
Yeah, you kind of reminded me of like Doc Brown when I came in.
Thank you.
Very mad scientist kind
Great
of a look.
Scott.
And she had her Harry Carey glasses on too. And so when you turned to me, I was jarred, but excited to see you. And I'm happy to be
Welcome
here.
Welcome back. Hey, yeah. It's National High Five Day. Can high five?
Nice.
Good one. Anyway, so here's a little information in honor of National High Five Day. Okay, nobody really knows when the first high five happened. But the credit usually goes to former MLB coach Dusty Baker and his old teammate Glenn Burke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they were playing for the Dodgers 47 years ago in 1977. They smacked hands during their last game of the season on October 2nd. There's also a photo to prove it. And fans immediately thought it was cool. And the Dodgers embraced it as their official way to celebrate. So, there have been plenty of bad ones since then. You've probably screwed it up before. You know, sometimes you miss.
Yeah, there is a tried and true method, they say, for not screwing up again. Before we reveal how to do the perfect high five, can I just ask, and Donna, and I say this with deep respect in my heart, you know that, but biographically, you were alive before I was, and so... Before this high five happened, let's keep it in a sporting context. What would you do when you hit a home run? What were they doing? Were they shaking hands? Were they hugging?
Great question.
Did they just walk by and nod at one another?
I'm not sure.
Doing the Charleston, the twist?
What do they do? Huh. I can't even fathom life before a high five.
You know, ESPN did a 30 for 30 short on it. And Dusty Baker, who is credited with it, is pretty modest about it. Here's a little clip.
No, I didn't invent the high five. All I did was respond to Glenn.
And on the on-deck circle was Glenn Burke, the excited rookie. Glenn put his arm high in the air, and Dusty wasn't sure what to do, so he slapped it.
You can go anywhere around the world, and people know what that is. Everyone wants that moment, and the high five made it accessible to everybody. When you look at how it's changed the world, and it's a universal symbol for all of us to share.
Sometimes you don't know why you do some of the things you do, especially when you're extremely happy. You just respond to each other.
You know, it's funny because now dogs do the high five, toddlers do high five. It's amazing.
I guess there was a time before Knuckles.
Right.
You know, the fist bump wasn't always around.
That's right. And high five, does that mean because you have five fingers?
Wow. You should be like a detective. Someone.
So you're doing a high slap with five fingers on your hand.
Oh, we're still breaking that part of it down. Yes, I think that. Yeah, what? Yeah, that's such interesting insight. Wow, man. You should do 60 minutes. Just on that. That's the only thing you do. And you take up the whole show, all 60 minutes. Yeah, I think that's why they call it.
How about when you do both? Is that a high 10?
Yeah, you know, I don't even think you name it that, but you that's what it would be. Yeah. Double high five.
And sometimes you do that and then you lock hands, you know?
Yeah, that's how most romances start. You're like, well, I thought we were just celebrating.
That's great.
I bet you don't high five much. I bet you've high fived.
Let me guess. You?
I bet you have high fived less than 125 times, probably in your whole life.
That might be accurate. I don't know.
I was going to say 100. I wonder.
I played sports, though, so I did a lot of high-fiving.
What sport did you play?
I played softball. I played basketball. I played volleyball.
Oh, my gosh. Your generation's Caitlin Clark?
Maybe. I was the
if you
captain
play sports,
my...
you play a lot. There's a lot of high fiving. Yeah. There's also a lot of there's a lot of butt slapping.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one.
I feel like that's more in the guy's side of it. But basketball, tons of butts getting slapped.
Yeah, what's up with that? Oh, yeah, it's just a pat, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like, you know, if you're running by them or they're walking by you, I don't know, there's some high fives, but there's the occasional...
Like just a quick slap?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I miss those days.
Well, they're not coming back. So...
Thanks, Matt Lauer.
What are the steps to make sure you don't screw up a high five?
It's really... It really comes down to one thing. You're supposed to look at the other person's elbow.
Okay.
Don't look at their eyes. Don't look at their hand. You look at their elbow.
Says here, recognize or declare a high five is about to happen.
I don't think that's
necessary. Don't have to yell, high five.
I am ready to receive a high five.
You just need to make eye contact and don't change your mind and go for a fist bump instead.
I love that it also says as another step, stay calm and be ready to move in unison. That's like, what do we think we're coming across?
Oh,
Barry down the hall. Oh, he's freaking out again. I think he's about to do a high five. Stay calm, Barry.
Happy high five day, everybody. High five.
Nice, Donna. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Today is a Thursday, which means we're going to play a little Throwback Thursday music trivia coming up at 11:30. That is hour three. If you listen on the podcast at 10:30 today, we will play the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. And is there anything else? 10:15.
Oh, 11 o'clock too.
Ooh, let's tease that.
Okay. So at 11 o'clock, we want to know, especially if you are a grandmother, what is a non-old sounding name that your grandkids call you? Or if you have any suggestions, even if you're not a grandparent.
And you can email us too, Donna and Steve Show at mytalk1071.com, and we'll store those up for 11 o'clock. But yeah, what is a good non-old sounding name for grandkids to call their grandmother? This is because you have a family member who's about to become a grandmother.
My sister's about to become a grandmother, and my bestie back home is about to become a grandmother.
Yeah, and they don't want to be granny.
No.
Right? That feels a little dated.
No.
A little old.
Well, and she's, my friend Mary is Polish, so they call their grandparents, their grandmas, babci.
Whoa.
So she just is trying to think outside the box because, you know, to them that sounds old.
Sure. I have Indian nieces and nephews, and they call my father-in-law, who's from India, Nanu.
Oh, cute. Nanu.
I do feel like people have gotten a little bit high maintenance when it comes. These modern day grandmas do get a little bit high maintenance with what everybody's got a different name. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm Zhiji. And it's like, okay, we're making up our own things now. And that's fine, I guess. But everybody is just a little
Zhiji. I do like Zhiji. I'm going to write that down. All right, we got to go.
All right, when we come back, Time's list of the most influential people on earth. We'll rattle through some of the names that made it and then ponder who got snubbed. That when we come back. Donna, Steve, my talk. Hey, friends, what's up? Stevie Boy from my buddies at Hoffman Weber Construction. Hey, are you up there in cabin country? Did you know that Hoffman Weber Construction just opened a new location up in the Brainerd Lakes area? As in like a brick and mortar, they're there. Not just they'll drive up there, but they're there. They want to help people in cabin country. And so if that's you and you know that the cabin could use a little glow up, maybe it really needs that new roof right about now. Maybe there was some storm damage and you've been waiting on that. You know, you usually have about a year with most insurance companies to find out what your next roof solution is going to be. And so if that was you for a storm that came through, reach out to Hoffman Weber. Also, by the way, if storms do come through, don't feel like you ever have to respond to those storm chasers who knock on the door. We're only going to be here for 3 days. No, no, no. You don't want someone who's going to be there for 3 days. You want someone who is local, who is trusted, who's been in the market here for over 30 years, and it doesn't have a pushy sales process. All of those boxes checked by Hoffman Weber Construction. Check them out today. HWConstruction.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Donna and Steve here on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Time magazine released their annual list of the 100 most influential people in the world. You know, the Time 100. And there's going to be a TV special airing on May 12th on ABC. Taraji P. Henson is going to host. Dua Lipa and Fantasia Barrino are going to be performing. So here's who's on the list broken down into categories, okay?
Okay.
Artists. Dua Lipa, Dev Patel, 21 Savage, Coleman Domingo, Divine Joy, Randolph. She could probably drop the Randolph, I bet.
Divine Joy does sound great.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Because it's a play on words.
Right.
It's spelled D-A apostrophe V-I-N-E.
Love it.
Sounds like divine.
Fantasia, Leslie Odom Jr. Okay, so those are the artists. Anybody notice anybody missing there?
Oh, it's okay. She'll be fine. Is this Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Yeah.
She should be. She's so influential. She should be on the cover.
Why do I feel like she was?
Maybe she
but
was.
But she was Time's Person of the Year November. When she had those wonderful pictures of her and her cat and her guitar.
Yes.
And she got a big feature interview.
All right, for that reason alone, she should be on the list.
But I think it's like separate. These are like, and the runners up. You know what I mean? Because only one person can be the person of the year.
All right, I'll give you that. Icons: Taraji P. Henson, Kylie Minogue, Elliot Page, Michael J. Fox, Sofia Coppola, Mark Cuban, and then some name I can't pronounce.
Say it, try it anyway. And say the thing before it.
No, this is what got me into trouble with the dinosaurs.
No, that was just...
No, you said say it. Because I was like,
And then you said Triceratops instead of Triceratops.
Can you give us a first initial and then a last initial?
H-M.
Say the whole thing, Donna. This will be such a cool growth moment for you. Remember, little girls are listening and you're there, Taylor Swift. Say the whole description.
It says Studio Ghibli director.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah!
Oh, what do you think you know better that? Than me?
What, do you go to Yale? Why aren't you an idiot like the rest of us, Holly? How did you know that?
Because Studio Ghibli.
No! Yeah. Ghibli?
Is Ghibli.
That's the only thing I think when I hear. What's Studio Ghibli?
My goodness. All the wonderful animated films like The Boy and the Heron, Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service.
Is this like an Indian thing?
Donna.
Japanese. I'm sorry.
Blue's not
I'm
even here.
Learning thing.
A Princess right. Mononoke? Yes. Very
Nothing
prolific.
That you said in the last 30 seconds has rung any bells for either of us, but we hope continued success for them and want them to be Oscar nominated.
Well, how do you say his name?
Hayao Miyazaki. Now, he came back from retirement to make the movie The Boy and the Heron, which won an Oscar this year.
Congrats.
And now I think he's going to be officially retired. And I think a lot of his movies are streaming on Disney Plus. They're quite wonderful, magical, and whimsical.
Are they shorts?
Hayao Miyazaki.
They're like feature length. Yeah.
Speaking of short, I tried watching an episode of Bluey when I was home.
Yeah.
I bailed. It just wasn't holding my attention.
Are you? See, Donna, I'm sorry. You are so the problem here.
I'm not even going to try. Good for you, Donna.
If you bailed on an 8-minute episode.
I know. Part of it was my brother was there and I was like, let's put on Bluey for a minute.
Is not the target audience to have in the room with you. He's a museum nerd, respectfully.
I was in his home and I said, stop here. Let's just watch this. It's probably 10 minutes long. And then I felt like he absolutely did not want to be a part of
it. So it sounds like, first of all, you went in the middle of an episode. If you said, stop here, It was probably while channel surfing and you came across Disney.
No, we waited for a new episode to start, I think.
I believe nothing of your story.
All right. Anyway, I'll tell you what it was about. They were selling their house and these like poodles or something were moving in. No, sheepdogs. Sheepdogs were moving into their home and they were moving somewhere.
So they have a new, they always do 8-minute episodes and they have a 30-minute episode out right now. Their first ever long episode like that. That everyone is Twitter's been going up about because it's like really
the finale, I think.
Emotional, and it deals with like some fertility problems. And Bluey has always been for parents and kids more than any other cartoon has been.
Got it.
All right.
Anyway, well, I'll watch that one.
Yeah. Hiya, Miyazaki!
Let me tell you who else is on this list. Okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Congratulations.
These are Titans. Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, I was at their show yesterday, and she was. They talked about that quick.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. They're what a really cool thing to get. Like,
it'd be called a Titan.
Yeah.
Jack Antonoff is on here. Let's see, leaders. No, I'm not pronouncing any of these names. There's just no way. Innovators: Maya Rudolph, fashion designer Tori Burch. America Ferrera is a pioneer. This is Time Magazine's most influential people. Find it at a newsstand near you.
When's the last time you bought a magazine?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's been years.
I think the last magazine that I had a subscription to Wired magazine for a while.
Oh, remember that?
Mm-hmm. And I can't think. I'm always kind of tempted when I'm at an airport. That's when magazines are most appealing to me. It's like if you don't want to fully commit to a book, you just want to surf a little bit. It's a good time to get a magazine. And then I never do because I always look and I'm like, what? $9.99 for this magazine?
I know.
They're expensive. Magazines are expensive.
I mean, give me a break. I was at, gosh, I can't remember what store. I think it was just a Walgreens. And I went and picked up a magazine and it was like $11.99. Wow. And I went, okay, buy a magazine. That is not okay. I got a thing of Altoids the other day, which was almost $6.
I think Altoids might be the worst breath mint. If you ranked every breath mint that's ever been out there, I think Altoids is the absolute bottom of the tin
barrel. You might think taste-wise, but effectiveness, it's probably number one.
Yeah. Funny, I asked for a breath mint the other night, and somebody said, yeah, she has one. She has Mentos.
No.
I said, no, that's not a mint.
No, that's candy.
That's pure candy.
The fresh maker.
Boy, it makes me want to do a mint ranking.
Let's do it.
All right. Effectiveness...
Let's do it next week.
Or enjoyment. All right. No, I wanted to do it next segment.
Oh, do you have mints?
On my mind, but I don't have any with me.
Oh, we got to get them and do a taste test.
No, just memory.
Figured
out.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Oh,
hey, Steve, stay out of this one, okay? If you are thinking, hey, cabin season is upon us, and maybe you're thinking about adding a new fire pit to your property, keep Energy Savers Fireplaces in mind. Okay, so when you are thinking about anything fireplace, keep them in mind. Extraordinaire fireplaces, extraordinaire inserts. They are handcrafted in Washington State, and Fireplace Extraordinaire has amazing fire designs for your whole family. You are going to love them. You could find out more about that at EnergySaversFireplaces.com. And also keep in mind that Energy Savers is having a store-wide sale for the month of April. Indoor gas, wood, fireplaces, and inserts. Plus, in addition to that, they've got a demo and in-stock product clearance sale going on right now. Here's what you could do. Go to EnergySaversFireplaces.com or stop by their showroom just off Highway 36 in Oakdale.
Talk is fun. My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
Well, it's time for something new. Came out of nowhere, didn't give no warning. Pedal so heavy like the two most wanted. And I don't know what you're doing tonight. But I'll be your shotgun.
Your 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast brought to you by 191 Virtual Academy.
Oh, today we're going to have cloudy skies, maybe a chance of a scattered shower, but then clearing skies with a high of 53, partly cloudy 44 tomorrow, right out of the My Talk studios. It's cloudy and 46.
Hey, it's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We're going to get to your story about Brian Cox, Donna, okay?
Okay.
You're jazzed about it.
I'm just the gall. I can't believe. Anyway, more on that in about 60 seconds. All right, maybe 3 minutes. How much time do you need?
I am a very bad gauge of that, but it could be quick. It could be
really
quick.
Really? We never it noticed. It could be quick.
As this goes back, I've told the story.
All right, I'm going to time you. All right, it is now 9:30.
This is like the time that I was telling our old TV producer. I said, listen, I need to talk about this. And he was like, we already have host chat all stacked. I was like, all I need are 60 seconds. That's it. I said, I'm a pro. I can do it in 60 seconds. Give me 60 seconds to talk about it. He said, okay. I go on. I tell the story. And then he jumps into my ear after there's a brief pause. And he says, do you want to know? And I said, uh-huh. And he said, that was 6.5 minutes. Time got away from me.
All right. It is now 9:31. Go.
This is quick. You know how sometimes you see your body in a mirror and it's just like, okay, this is telling no tales. This is telling me the truth about where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was in this hotel. Everything is a small footprint in New York City, including the bathroom. So I get to this hotel and I was like, everything was so cramped. I'm alone there. I'm like, you know, about to get changed and showered and ready to go. I'm nude, everyone. I'm sorry. As I came out of my mother's womb and I sit down on the toilet.
Okay.
I do not close the door. I'm going to be in and out of here. This is going to be real quick. I do not close the door. I look out to my right. There is a floor to ceiling mirror.
Like on the door or something? Or
outside in the hall. Mm-hmm. So like door is open and I see it. I had never before 2 days ago or a day ago seen me naked in profile sitting on a toilet.
Yeah, that's a moment.
I want to let you know that if you have someone in your life who is too prideful or thinks a wee too much of themselves, have them sit naked on a toilet, sort of leaning forward as you do, right? You're not getting any posture points when you're on the pot. I'm leaning forward and I looked over and I was like, who's that fat naked man and how did he get into my room? And then I was like, but his hair is amazing. That's me.
Here's my suggestion for myself mostly. When I want to drop a few pounds, I really think I need to sit in a chair completely naked in front of a mirror every time I want to eat a meal. And that is going to be how I lose weight.
And if you choose to eat the meal, you can, but you've got to stay naked in front of that mirror. So every time that you slurp that lo mein noodle up and it's just flipping around like a live wire before it smacks into your pie hole, you see what you've become.
It's
but
bad.
It was jarring, Donna.
I noticed something about myself this morning that I'm going to ask you about off the air. But
no, I don't feel safe. Say it on the air.
Okay, so
your bingo wing?
Things happen under your arms.
Yeah.
It is just this teeny little piece of flesh that is very crepey and wrinkly. Like right here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, when did that happen?
And if you take a picture of it close up, you don't know what body part that is.
This is like
could
Donna.
Be any number of, it could be like four different things.
It's a guessing game.
This is like guess when Donna texted me yesterday and said, do you want me to send you a picture of my belly fat?
That's right.
And we were like, maybe she makes this a game. She just takes a picture and it's like, what do you think this is?
So you were exploring your armpit, like the third fold.
I wasn't even exploring it. I was just putting a shirt on. And then I went, when did that happen? And it's on both sides.
Well, that's at least nice.
And it's really loose? Really loose.
Is it like the weenus skin, like the elbow
it
skin?
Is.
It's, you know?
It is, and it looks bad.
The third fold.
Anyway, it looks fine if I pull
my arm. I don't want to look at your
you
armpits.
You want to see it?
No, I don't. I really feel, I look think, uncomfortable
oh,
with your
armpits.
Oh, is
that vulnerable? It's like wearing open-toed shoes at work?
Not...
Yeah, to me, toes are private.
Yeah,
you only get to see that if I'm naked.
Let me tell you, during Project Down and Dirty, some of the most uncomfortable moments that I've ever had at this station are seeing my coworkers' bare feet in the hotel room.
And I say this with love and respect in my heart to all women who get petties and just think that you are now the cat's meow.
Totally.
Your feet are still wrecked. I promise you.
Yes.
They aren't a good part of your body. And these people who have foot things, I don't even know.
What are foot things?
Like that they're attracted to feet and they're really hyper focused on feet.
Yeah,
I just can't.
Because it's, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. You should have those covered up at all times. It's like seeing someone with their zipper down.
Every
No, it's like, way more intimate than that.
Yes, it's intimate. That's the word.
Way more intimate to see toe cleavage of a colleague.
Yeah, especially a man.
Oh.
I can't handle man feet.
And tell me a time that you've seen a woman's foot in a pump or a heel or whatever, one of these open-toed situations where it doesn't look like, you know, you're cramming five toes into a three-toe situation. Everybody looks like they're leaning against each other. The subway is full. God. Don't get us started on the pinky
and
toe.
And your feet always look a little damp.
Are you saying that of my feet?
Yes, respectfully. They do. They always look like, you know how when you take a piece of like salami out of the out of the bag and you're like,
this is
wow,
when
it's
I've
a little
showed,
sweaty.
Yeah, like a little meat
it's like beating.
This is like the time that I tried to show you guys my bunion and be vulnerable about that. And then you said that my feet look damp. Like, that's not supportive.
By the way, we're coming up on 7 minutes.
Oh.
Since you started your story.
It's a fun story. Everybody's got toes. Well, most of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people have six.
Some
looking at you,
do
Oprah.
Have six. Does she have a six toe?
I'm pretty sure.
Hold up. Wait, we got to verify this. We got to fact check this.
Wild claim to throw
and
out
Holly,
there.
And Holly, do not Google Steven Tyler's feet.
Oh, I already have a long time ago.
Oh, my gosh. You do that or John Stamos' belly button, it'll wreck you for a day.
Well, oh back in 2007. TMZ had the theory that Oprah had six toes, but it just looks like it's just an offshoot of the top of her foot.
Okay.
It doesn't look like a six toe. I mean, she definitely has bunions, maybe a hammer toe in this picture, but not a six toe.
Okay. All right. You know, if your cat has six toes, that's good luck.
Now look at John Stamos' belly button.
Hold on a second.
Google that.
What are we doing? This is
just
body shaming.
No, we're celebrating the diversity of body. I started by thinking that there was a naked obese man who had broken into my hotel room only to find out it was me. So we're all in this together.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Neither innie nor outie.
Yeah, it's like a flesh button. It's really what it looks like. Because it looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like, do you have any tufted furniture at your home? You know those little fabric buttons?
Like some people have that center? As a headboard.
Yes. His belly button looks like one of those buttons that help tuft. But his tummy doesn't look tufted.
No, he actually has impressive abs.
He looks great.
It looks like someone glued that in the middle of his stomach.
But then it's changed over time because now I'm looking at this old tabloid picture of him from back in the day and it was innie.
What? Wow. Maybe he had a hernia.
What are we doing?
Oh my God. You know, I need to read his book.
John Stamos has spoken about that, by the way. He's very open about his belly button stuff. He jokes about it.
What does he say it is?
I don't know, but he's open about it. He's referenced it on late night shows and
I might put like a Band-Aid over that
every day
if I were at the beach.
Donna.
I don't know.
What if he just wore, what are we doing?
I don't know. Does he
I was
going to
say one of those UV protection shirts, you know, because a lot of people do the shirt thing now.
Holly does that.
Oh, yeah. Rash guards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you don't have to put on any sunscreen.
Yeah.
Well, that's I guess I don't have time for my Brian Cox story.
Oh, you were so
wonder
excited
what his
about
belly
it.
Button looks like.
Me too.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay, I'll tell you the story. Okay. And if I run over, we'll just, you know, go into the next segment. Okay, so remember I told you I saw the movie Napoleon and it was terrible?
Yes.
It was. So he kind of unleashed this tirade at what's called London's Hist Fest this week. And he was slamming Joaquin Phoenix for his portrayal of Napoleon, even suggesting that he would have done the role more justice. He says, terrible. It's terrible. A truly terrible performance by Joaquin Phoenix. Whoa. It really is appalling. I don't know what he was thinking. I think it's totally his fault. And I don't think Ridley Scott helps him. And then he says, I would have played it a lot better than Joaquin Phoenix. I can tell you that. You can say it's a good drama. No, it's lies. And then he started playing on his name, saying, I think he's well named. Joaquin, wacky. It's sort of a wacky performance. I think he might be losing it. Anyway, he said critics are lying about calling Napoleon a solid drama, even though it did get 3 Oscar nominations. I didn't know that. But none were for Best Actor or Best Director.
Yeah, like costume, probably.
Oh, my God. He's also taken swings at Johnny Depp in the past and his Succession co-star, Jeremy Strong. So, by the way, Brian Cox, fantastic actor.
In Succession. Everybody loves him.
He's fantastic. He's amazing. But I think, you know, he's getting up there in age and he's probably like, who cares? What do I have to lose? My career? Whatever.
Yeah, right. Poor Maybe Joaquin he's not Phoenix. Acting too much in Succession. Maybe this is just he's really coming at you with hard intensity.
I saw him in an interview and he seemed like such a sweet guy.
Well, you know what? I don't know. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Everybody feels like nobody says the truth. They do mince words and they put everything together. And he's just like, yeah, sucked. Next. I don't know if it's the right thing to say, but it's certainly honest. Different. Yeah.
And that was not a good movie. I don't know whose fault it was, but it wasn't.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
You watched it?
Yes, I watched the whole thing. I suffered through it.
Oh my gosh, there are so many movies I've wanted you to watch that are shorter than that.
Well, here's what happens. I live with somebody. He happened to want to watch it. I happened to be on the couch on my computer at the time. And I said, yeah, I'll watch this with you. I don't care. And that's what happened. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, Dawn. Nah, sorry.
Jeez.
Well, there was a Dawn who had emailed us. Or she emailed me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Good.
We got to go. If you see something, you should say something. Some people are saying things about the Golden Bachelor, Gare Bear.
Yeah.
Not very kind.
Also, if we have time, let's touch quickly on what's happening in Dubai.
Okay.
Have you seen what's going on in Dubai?
Not really.
Oh, my gosh. Like biblical flooding. That they have had there. It's kind of crazy, but some people are wondering if Dubai made this situation even worse. We'll explain what that means. That when we return. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk.
He's pretty much a one-man morning zoo, but we're really glad Donna's here too. The Donna and Steve Experience, where talk is fun. My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment.
You know who this is singing here?
A listener informed us of this.
Yes. Do you want to share it with everybody?
Steve from Stranger Things.
Yeah, Joe Keery.
How about that?
I like it. Because we were talking about, what does this remind us of? It's kind of cool. Anyway, welcome back to the show, y'all. Appreciate you listening. It's Donna and Steve, and we've seen things, we're going to say things.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something. with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
Okay, I did not know that Gary from the Golden Bachelor, is that what it's called? Yeah, Golden mm-hmm. Bachelor. I didn't know that he and his lady person broke up.
Oh,
yeah, they're getting divorced. Yeah,
Donna, you missed this. You were in Jersey.
I had no idea. So I'm like, why is Brittany had put in the show that there's a Golden Bachelor family feud that's still going to be taking place? And I'm like, what do you mean still? Like,
Donna,
what?
they announced it last Friday on Good Morning America.
Oh, my God.
They had teased the night before that there was an announcement. And then the announcement was that they were getting divorced. And shout out yet again to Juju Chang, who conducted the interview and voiced the tone of everyone, which was even saying things like, seriously? Like, wow. Guys, so you're getting a divorce, like less than 90 days after they got married. I mean, she, I thought, did a really great job with the handling the absurdity of the information. Hey, but don't worry, Donna. They're still in love. They still love each other.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep, they're holding hands and everything.
What? What?
You missed... I can't believe you missed this story.
I missed the whole thing. I am blown away by this. First of all, I don't even know why he... I don't know why he made the choice he made. I didn't see that coming. And according to this story before me right now... First of all, they blamed it on family issues and not being able to agree on a place to live. But some fans think it is financial issues that drove them apart. So they talked about moving to South Carolina and had actually gone house hunting. But there's a theory going around that during the process of trying to secure a mortgage, Teresa found out that Gary had some kind of monetary issues.
Gary?
And maybe he only picked her because she did have money.
They say that like during that one of their late in the season dates, she revealed that she had done very well in investing. And suddenly,
yes,
his doe eyes got even bigger.
Yes. That's when his attitude shifted because... he was kind of off on their final date, I guess. And then when she made that comment, he was suddenly 100% into her despite ignoring her for the first half of their date. And so, I don't know, people are just saying, hello, his demeanor shifted 180 degrees. And in an expose last November, if you recall, the Hollywood Reporter called out some discrepancies between real life and the way he was portrayed. Remember, he was a restaurateur.
Yeah, he like worked at a Fuddruckers or something.
In the 80s.
Yeah, he had a burger stand in Iowa in the 80s.
Okay. He juiced up his resume, or they juiced up his resume.
He also said he had like never kissed anyone since the passing of his widow. And then the woman he had like lived with
had
was
been
like,
dating, yes. Excuse me.
Remember me?
So I guess Teresa's got one thing going for her. They did sign a prenup. So hopefully that means what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours.
I would imagine, yeah.
So that's
I can't
crazy.
Believe you missed their GMA interview. You should find 6 minutes today and watch the
okay.
piece.
It's
good. Again, Juju Chang did a really great job.
Oh, why don't I do it while you're doing your next story?
That's fine.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I kid, I joke.
What do you think of the fact that they got divorced?
I think, why did you get married in the first place? Did you really get that pressured into marrying?
My guess is going into that season, even more than before, that the Bachelor producers, who, you know what they say, the devil works hard, but Bachelor producers work harder, that they said, this is going to be different because it's so late in life. We do want a marriage. The viewers will expect a marriage because... We're in the fourth quarter, guys. You ain't in your 20s. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And they got married on TV, too. That's right.
Yes, by all of their sister wives.
They
were like
about
the flower
that.
Girl yes. and the officiant and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this thing was so creepy and whacked out as it always is, but even more so. And then the fact that it all ended so abruptly. But you need to see the interview where they are, but we still love each other. And we do.
Okay,
it was
precious.
Just like, felt so. weird. Although she said, are you still going to be looking for love? In Gare Bear's eyes, he was like, yeah. I mean, it was like...
He was licking his chops.
Yeah, jeez Louise. I don't know. It was weird. It was weird.
All right. Well, I'm sure they can probably get an annulment, maybe.
I don't know what the time restriction on an annulment is.
I'll look it up.
I feel like it's shorter than 90 days.
You think so?
I don't know. What's the difference? What, one's just... I mean, I understand, like, you can't annul a marriage if you've been married for 5 years, but from a legal standpoint, is an annulment cheaper?
Let's see. To put it simply, a divorce ends a marriage. In contrast, a legal annulment invalidates a marriage. So it never existed. But I don't know.
Oh.
That's in the eyes of the law, at least here in Minnesota.
Oh.
What's okay. the most common ground? Oh, wow. Bigamy, forced consent, fraud, mental incapacity, inability to consummate.
Okay, this
underage.
This is getting weird.
All right, sorry. All right. Anyway, let's talk about Dubai.
This is a very strange story. It's been Dubai had been trending on Twitter for several days in a row because in the video out of there, it almost seemed like it was created by AI. You just thought, is this possible? Including massive flooding that hit that area. And, you know, Dubai is really one of the world's drier cities. Mm. They got as much rain, half of a foot, which is 2 years worth. And they got it in a span of like a day and a half. Whoa. This was from Monday night into Tuesday. They lack storm drains. They lack green spaces for absorbing such a downpour.
Oh.
So it massively flooded roads, buildings, airport tarmacs. One of the most famous videos is airplanes driving through, taxiing through
water.
What looks like a river. I mean, it's wild.
So they can't fly out of there or land, right? Because it's flooded.
Right. Yeah. So now since then, I think that some of this water has all subsided.
Okay.
But it's been really, you know, that's the second busiest airport in the world.
Oh, wow.
And so they're getting back up on their feet, but there have been some conspiracy theories about this as well. In the early aftermath, this from the Morning Brew today, claims circulated on social media attributing the rainfall to the UAE's use of cloud seeding. This is when planes spray salt particles into rain clouds to give water vapor more to latch onto in an effort to boost precipitation. Californians also became unfoundedly suspicious of this geoengineering strategy after storms rocked their state in February. Bloomberg reported on Tuesday that the United Arab Emirates meteorology official said the country worsened the flood by seeding the approaching clouds in the preceding days. But the UAE denied this, and the same official later told CNBC that the seeding planes flew but did not seed the clouds, but CNBC could not verify that. Even if these clouds were seeded with salt to boost the precipitation, the tactic would only boost the rainfall by 20 to 25% at best.
Okay.
But it's got people wondering, like, what in the world was going on there? So there you go.
Oh, Dubai. Man, that's crazy. I'm looking at the pictures right now.
Oh, my gosh. Really, really wild pictures.
Yikes.
We have reached the end of the first hour. Holly Roberts, thank you so much. She is our producer for hour one. Mike the Big Zamboni comes in for hours two and three. Music news and a dirt alert next. Hey, friends, it's Steve. You know, the season is changing, and now is the time to begin planning your winter adventures here in Minnesota. From dog sledding across a frozen lake to dining in an igloo, winter can be magical in Minnesota. So start planning your winter getaway and visit one of the world's largest malls or catch a touring Broadway production. Get your free monthly travel e-newsletter and start planning your dream trip or browse through endless events and activities happening throughout the entire state by visiting exploreminnesota.com.